Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, it's a new week, a new day. Well, a new day, a new week. It's a new...
And no storms.
And no storms.
Well, that we know of.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I did see there's a new tropical storm out there.
Named?
Tropical storm Maria,
I want to say. I-J-K.
L.
Who's L?
I don't know.
K went to Mexico.
I can't keep up with all of them, but I saw something. On Facebook, I think it was. Not on the news, but so it could have been a fake something.
Fake.
It could be fake news.
Okay.
So I didn't, I don't think we have anything, but it's hot outside now.
Is it? You said it was hot yesterday.
We had soccer practice for much of yesterday and,
hot?
It was hot.
I was inside most of yesterday cleaning the inside of my house from the hurricane. The upheaval, I guess, is the best.
It was good to be outside, but it was hot.
You look healthy. Your color's good. Look, I look pasty because I'm working inside.
Inside folk.
Right.
So
that's right.
But today we're not going to talk about the weather. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this very interesting article from another source that I am not familiar with, but it's called Task and Purpose.
Yeah, I like this.
It seems to be very military based,
right?
But it's important because you know we try to plan out what we're going to talk about on our podcast, and one of the things that we need to improve upon is being prepared.
One of the many things
that we need to improve upon is the idea that, you know, we have, there are different months dedicated to different things. September, one of the things about September is that it is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month.
There are two important things being recognized in September. One is suicide prevention awareness. And the other is substance abuse awareness. And so there are two topics here that we might want to spend some time on. In September.
And speaking of that, you know, it's interesting that because we had planned that next week the last week of September, we're going to focus on substance abuse, and we have a very interesting interview set up for that week. We didn't know until just recently that it was Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. So, you know, we got to do better with that. I need to get like a printout or something.
We need a calendar of some type that tells us these things.
I'm sure that there are those out there. But, well, anyways. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today because this article from Task and Purpose, it's entitled Ending the Stigma Around Mental Illness and Suicide Starts with Speaking Up. And it's a beautifully written piece written by a woman, Megan Smith.
That's right.
And she's talking about the suicide of her brother, a military veteran.
Right. It's well written, and it's written by somebody who's had an unfortunate personal experience with suicide.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today and hopefully, you know, get people thinking about things a little bit. Because and what's fascinating, and I guess we stumbled upon this accidentally because I came across it because it was talking a little bit about the use of social media for ending the stigma. And we've been talking about that over the past couple of weeks. Right. And again, it was just another one of those articles that came up from that was recently published that we thought would be really interesting to talk about. And then as we get into it, you know, she mentions that it's Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and it's we missed it again.
Missed it again. Right.
So
we'll keep track. We'll keep better track of this.
Absolutely. So the link to the article is in the show notes, so definitely, definitely get in there and read the article. It's again, very well written. But she talks about her brother. And he was...
he was a military veteran. He had been off to war.
Served in Iraq.
Came back, right.
And some of the... In the news, we hear about the most active parts of the war, the active cities. So we begin to recognize certain names. Like Fallujah was one of the names that comes up. And he happened to be at two of those hottest spots. I had not friends, but children of friends who have deployed to Iraq. And they were in quiet places and were there for a year and never saw any action. They did other things, and they never saw any action. And we don't hear about those places. But this particular brother, her brother, was in two of the most active war zones in Iraq. So he presumably saw lots of action.
Right. Yeah, so. Absolutely. And, you know, the thing that we have to... to remember is that when we think about PTSD, we often think about military veterans, which is appropriate because it was originally talked about or originally proposed as primarily a condition that was experienced by people who had been to war. And we have writings about PTSD-like things dating back from probably even the Revolutionary War, even before.
Since Roman times. I mean, I'm sure that every soldier experienced these traumatic emotional events.
Because they just called it different things, like shell shock and...
Battle fatigue
and things like that.
I mean, it was well recognized in World War II. In fact, there's that famous scene from Patton where he strikes a soldier who was struggling with PTSD.
Right. And that was historically much of the way that we handled it, in that we you just suck it up.
Right.
Be a man, is what they would say, and which is a very insulting thing to say to somebody.
And the World War II veterans had PTSD. They struggled with it, but they struggled in silence.
Right.
You know, Tom Brokaw wrote that wonderful book, The Greatest Generation. They were also the silent generation. Right. They suffered in silence for years and years and years. Many still do. And we don't really... I don't know of really good data on the suicide rates of World War II veterans, although I had uncles who served in World War II, and I know that they struggled. My mother has told me stories, and as she has described things, I mean, clearly it was PTSD.
Right.
You just didn't talk about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that, you know, speaking of PTSD and suicide, the numbers are... astounding.
So I was surprised by the numbers.
So she mentions in this article, and it is very difficult to get clean, accurate numbers, for a variety of reasons. But one of the statistics that she cited suggests 44,000 over 44,000 people in the United States commit suicide every year. That's 122 a day,
right?
Of those 122 a day, 20, according to the statistics that she offered, 20 are veterans.
Veterans,
So one in six.
They're disproportionately represented in that sample. Isn't suicide, hasn't it become the leading cause of death among teenagers?
It's the leading cause, second only to accidental.
Auto accidents and injuries, It is second cause of death. 122 per day is an alarming number.
It is.
And 20 veterans a day, any would be too many.
Right.
I mean, you know, when we talk about, I had to pick somebody, I dropped my daughter off at the airport on Thursday.
Right.
She was flying out of town. Dropped her off. As you leave the airport, there's a large sign that says, "Thank you, veterans, for your service." We see it celebrated in many ways on TV and in media and everything. But if 20 per day are committing suicide, we're missing something somewhere. And that was the most alarming thing to me, was I had seen this sign on Thursday, and then I read this. And we're obviously missing something.
Right.
Something's happening, because 20 a day is just unacceptable.
Absolutely. And she talks about, and again, this is sort of what drew us to this to begin with, is the idea that we really, this stigma of mental illness and suicide specifically is so pervasive in our society, our culture,
the stigma is,
that it's almost, I don't even know what the word is that I'm looking for. It's, well, you said unacceptable. It's unacceptable that we're not doing anything about that.
Right, right. And that's the part that bothers me, is that when they re-enter our... The veterans from Vietnam were shabbily treated.
Right.
We all acknowledge that. It wasn't the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't their fault. It was the military leadership, civilian and military leaders, who created that mess, that war. But the soldiers were treated shabbily. And as a nation, we said, let's never do that again, which is a good thing.
Right.
Okay, that part's good. But we're missing something. When they said that this woman wrote this article and said her brother would have to wait for hours to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, that's simply unacceptable.
Right.
These boys, and they're boys, young men, shouldn't have to wait 10 minutes when they need this kind of assistance. So, you know, you don't know whether it's a matter of political will or financial resources or what it is. But whatever the problem is, let's find out what it is and let's solve it. These guys don't deserve to struggle anymore.
Yeah, and I think that what's really frustrating is that, you know, and again, this is not a political show. We don't we don't talk politics a lot on here. However, I'm not going to break that track record here, except to say, you know, when we think about the opportunities or the various options that have been proposed by some of the politicians as it relates to healthcare. And, you know, I think that I would really implore people to look at the disparity between physical health and mental health. There is such a disparity in the way in which our insurance companies and insurance coverage supports patients and just citizens as it relates to mental health issues as compared to what they do for physical health issues. You see how I'm dancing? I'm being very...
It's a moral issue. It's not a political issue. It takes political will to solve it.
Right.
But this is a moral issue.
Right.
Clearly.
But we get so... We're so... You know, when we think about, you know, the criticisms that people say about healthcare systems from other places in the world... And they say, oh, well, they have to wait so long. They have to, you know, they can't see a specialist right away, or they can't do this, or they can't do that. I would, again, implore you to look at some of the information and statistics as it relates to access to mental health services here in the United States. It is unacceptable.
Right.
I mean, I'm being careful. We have, here in our area, just as an example, we don't live in a very rural area. I mean, we live right in between Tampa and Orlando, two of the biggest
centers,
cities and areas in Florida.
Right. We are, in a sense, a bedroom suburb of those cities.
For we want to refer someone to see a psychiatrist, for example, it's my understanding from everyone that I've talked to, every psychiatrist that I've attempted to contact, they are scheduling into December and January
Into 2018.
Right.
That's right. If you can find one.
If you can find one that's taking new patients.
Right. That's right. Because some are not taking new patients.
And many of those that are scheduling into December and January don't take insurance.
Right.
Which many of them are, you know, only serve certain populations, so they only, you know, work with people who have particular complaints or particular concerns or issues.
Right.
And most of them don't see children.
That's right.
So it's unacceptable. We're going to keep going to that word. Right? It's frustrating.
An interesting time because this week.
But this is what I think, that this is what really fuels the stigma.
Yeah. This, just full disclosure.
Oh.
This week, Bernie Sanders mentioned, wrote raised the question again of a single payer healthcare system. Mm-hmm. So we are not advocating any change. It's not our. We're not advocating that we change the healthcare system.
Right.
Okay. We're not talking about that. This is, and you're right. This isn't a political show.
Right.
It's not a political diatribe. We're not making any suggestions to anybody yet. Though we do have opinions.
Right.
But our opinions are not. It's not a political philosophy. It is a moral philosophy.
Because, our opinion is based upon what we see as
right.
people, as service providers in the field.
That's right. There are people who need psychological and psychiatric services who cannot get them mm-hmm. because of the way our healthcare system is structured. It's mm-hmm. that simple.
Right.
It's either not. It's like you can't get dental insurance. I mean, you can right. buy it, but it doesn't buy you right. very much. Okay. And it's the same with mental health coverage. Mm-hmm. If you can get it, if your policy even has mental health coverage, it's very expensive.
Right.
Okay, and so we're not talking about any of that. We're just saying it's a moral obligation mm-hmm. that we ask these young men and women to risk their lives to go overseas, sacrifice families, and sacrifice everything, and then to come home and have anything less than superb care. Mm-hmm. We're just talking about the veterans now.
Right.
There's 122 people a day who are committing suicide. But let's just talk about the veterans and we do right. owe them.
Yeah.
I mean, we've asked them. There's a contract that we sign with them that mm-hmm. if you do this, we will do this.
Right.
I mean, that's the understanding. And anything less is simply unacceptable.
Absolutely.
I don't care what the cost is. It's not a cost issue. Anything less is unacceptable. And there's something broken in this system if mm-hmm. 20 a day are committing suicide.
Right. And if you think about, well, you know, this is, we could go on and talk about this for hours. But I think that what we fail to recognize is that while if one person commits suicide, that suicide affects mm-hmm. 50 other people, 100 other people.
That's right.
You know,
it's not just one in this individual.
Right. Mm-hmm. We think about, you know, this travesty of when a teenager commits suicide.
Right.
And when a teenager commits suicide, every student in the school is affected by that.
Everybody's affected.
And mm-hmm. so we have sort of this, it's almost logarithmic increase mm-hmm. in mental mm-hmm. health issues, not necessarily mental illness, but mental health issues. People who need to talk to somebody to process that
right.
loss, that event, mm-hmm. and they just don't. They're just not available.
Right.
That's you know, right. Mm-hmm. They just can't find that support. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm going to go back to the fact that I think that it's my perspective that this is what contributes to the stigma.
Right.
You know, things that are devalued in our society are things that are seen as things that we should stay away from. Mm-hmm. So if we don't value mental health enough to say, hey, we need to get people help, we need to make sure that, you know, these services are available mm-hmm. to people, then people are, I mean, it's by its very nature, people are going to say that must not be a very important thing.
Right.
You know, people who need those services must be this or they must be that. Mm-hmm. And that's not me. So right. I'm not going to go get that help.
Right.
Psychologically, that makes sense
right.
to me.
And once again, we have to remember that we're talking about the 20 who successfully complete a suicide.
Right.
How many mm-hmm. are contemplating?
Yeah.
How many have attempted and failed? And what other problems are they dealing with?
Right.
You know, we don't have any.
Yeah.
I don't know where the data would. I suppose the VA would have some data, but not all these men are accessing VA services. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There's a wonderful song we've listened to it a couple times before called "Hero of War" mm-hmm. by I think the name of the group is Rise Against. I'll put a link to the YouTube video in the show notes, but it's a very be careful watching the video. It's a music video. It's a but it's. You know, they're talking about this very issue.
Right.
And it's such a big thing that I think that we don't talk about it enough. And I regret that we didn't see that this was Suicide Prevention Awareness Month earlier so we could dedicate more time. We've talked about suicide a lot over the past couple months because of 13 Reasons Why and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, this serious discussion is needed to, and I wish that maybe we need to think about getting a politician or somebody on the show that we can interview that can talk more about some of these healthcare things.
I'm guessing that most of us have been touched by a suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we have. I mean, yeah. There are friends who have. One of the things that I appreciate about the way this woman mm-hmm. Wrote about this is we all think of what could we have done?
Right.
What did we miss?
Mm-hmm.
And the recurring theme in her article is this notion that there were 100 things we saw and there mm-hmm. were 100 things we missed.
Right.
So while you have these warning signs
right.
that somebody's might even be considering it, she said they're very helpful,
mm-hmm.
but you're still going to miss things.
Right.
And I like the fact that she sort of absolves us mm-hmm. of that guilt
right.
when she says, look, nobody was closer to this than we were.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, her brother was getting a degree in social work
mm-hmm.
so that he could help.
Yeah.
He was already helping others
yeah.
to prevent suicide. So this is the last person that you would suspect
yeah.
would want to commit, would carry out an act like this. But she, in this writing, she sort of absolves us of that guilt
yeah.
and says, instead, this is what we should be doing.
Right.
And that's what I really appreciate. The yeah. value of this article is, on the one hand, she offers us absolution. It's not our... We're all missing it.
Right.
Here's the solution.
Right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she talks about, again, that I really like, and it goes along with some of the things we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, is she talks about the importance of social media when it
That's
relates
right.
to that.
You That's know, right.
It's that immediate feedback that mm-hmm. you can get from people as it relates to some of these issues.
That's
and
right.
if you could find somebody who you can talk to mm-hmm. about some of these issues,
right.
then it helps, or it helps relieve some of the stress and pressure and everything from
That's
from
right.
that.
And there is that website that the woman who was working in suicide prevention, and she ended up committing suicide. And now there's
a semicolon.
Right,
yeah.
The Semicolon Project. And again, as you say, this is a valuable use of social media.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the ways to get mm-hmm. the word out.
Right.
This is a useful way,
yeah.
A positive way to use social media.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you or somebody you know is struggling with some of these things, I'm going to include in the show notes links to, you know, phone numbers that you can call to get acute mm-hmm. help, suicide prevention hotlines and things like that.
Right.
We'll include some links to different resources as it relates to suicide prevention so that you can access that and get some of the help that you need. And of course, we're always here.
Right.
We're working on, it just never comes fast enough, but we're
right.
working on a few things, hopefully to fill some of these spaces that
mm-hmm.
are left in the needs of,
right.
of people.
Yeah, because the list, the warning signs, mm-hmm. that's the one thing that always pops up. It's very, very helpful
mm-hmm.
To have the warning signs. But there's a considerable amount of, there's a lot of other information that
right.
is valuable, including links to other resources.
Right.
And she talks about that in the article, is that there's a number of ways to get the word out.
Right.
And let's use all of them. And certainly if listeners have anything to add to this,
yeah.
we'd send it to us
yeah.
and we'll make sure it gets posted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Now we, you know, our responsibility, or what we've taken on as our responsibility from the beginning of doing our podcast, is to work to get as much information out for
mm-hmm.
people as possible, to talk about things in ways that make sense to people. So, you know, we want to keep reaching more and more people. So
mm-hmm.
if you happen to listen to us on iTunes and
right.
you know, please write a review or give a rating or something, because that increases our presence.
Visibility
on
and
iTunes.
Presence. Right.
If you listen to us in any other format,
yeah.
you know, share us with your friends and encourage others to subscribe and listen. Again, not so specifically for self-promotion for us or anything like that, but we want more people talking about these things, and
right.
and we want more people to to understand what's going on and what services are available and what's out there. So whether you listen to us as a podcast or on YouTube, that's why we're trying to get this stuff out to as many people and in as many formats as possible.
Right.
Please share us, subscribe, comment, rate, you know, all of that stuff, and so that other people can find us too.
Right. Yeah. Let's get it out. Get the word out.
Yeah. We've got a lot of things coming up because we want to keep building this, and
it's growing.
Let us know what's working, what you like, and what you don't like about this.
Right. I asked my family the other day. I said, "You have to watch these things and let me know, you know, what you do and what you don't like." You know what they told me?
What?
This glasses thing that I do is very distracting. Where'd you hear that before?
I think somebody has said it.
Somebody
is wearing a green shirt. So, all right. Well.
Now let us know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not. It's really not self-promotion.
Right. No.
We want to expand the audience. We want to get this information out.
Yeah.
It's not. We're not selling anything. I mean, that's
right.
That's the iron. We're not selling anything, but we want to get this kind of information to as many people as we can.
Yeah.
And it helps if you tell others
and
let others know that we exist. And let it spread that way.
Right.
And we'll get the word to more people.
Right.
And if there's something more that we should be doing or something we should be doing differently, let us know by all means.
Yeah. We are looking at some, what is it, advertising types of opportunities simply to, well, this takes a lot of time.
to pay somebody to do the technical work that we have to do ourselves.
To keep it improving. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And to make it grow is going to take more time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We've got, some of the ideas.
But we're not selling jewelry or knives or copper kettles or anything, vacuum cleaners. We're not selling anything.
Did you say copper kettles?
Yeah, there's this copper cookware that's become very popular now on TV, advertising.
Fantastic.
So anyway, we're not selling anything.
We're not. No, we're just trying to get information out in the most accessible way possible.
Yeah,
so,
share us. The most people we can.
Share us and work with us to help end the stigma and to get rid of it. So.
Right. Both mental health and suicide awareness.
Absolutely.
So
that's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.